The following message was recorded at the No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission.
My name is Randy Knive. I am the reason I'm here is I'm the lead pastor at Breeze City Church. Breeze City Church is a church downtown Milwaukee. If you know, it's on Van Buren Street. If you know where the Metro Market is, we're right across the street from there in an old red brick turn of the century building. Really beautiful. It's a blessing. It's also falling apart, probably as we speak. But it's a lot of fun. We have people from all walks of life at Breeze City Church, which I'm really proud of. There's suburbanites who drive in, who are in the business world and doing really well. And then there's recovering addicts who are off the street, basically, wandering through our doors, finding Jesus for the first time. It's a privilege. It's a beautiful thing. When I'm not the lead pastor guy, it's funny that I'm sitting here talking in single men in today's world, but I'm married. me and my wife have four kids. They're all under the age of 9. Currently, so my wife is a hustling, bustling, amazing woman, prolific, I would call her. That is my world. You guys are here where the seminar is called Single Men in Today's World, I believe that's what it's called, right? Single Men in Today's World, yeah. So if you're married, you probably learned something, but this is for single men. You guys have sat through already a couple of, you sat through a big long sermon, which is great. And then you sat through another seminar, which I'm sure was great as well. But I'm going to, at least on the front end here, I want to interact a little bit. Tell me, let me just, there's a, our culture speaks of single men in a certain way. There's a narrative about single men that our culture has formed and solidified and that we often live into and isn't there. So tell me, what are some words or ideas that you would say our culture says this is what a single man in our world is today? What are single men told about themselves? What are you told about yourselves by our culture today? Selfish. Single men are selfish. How so?
You don't want to share your self-centered.
Anymore. Self-centered. Your existence is just yourself, right? Okay. Selfish. That's a good one. What's that?
Narcissistic.
Narcissistic. Yep. Similar vein. Just your world is yourself. You don't have anything else to worry about. So that's obviously who you are. What other ideas or words or stories are told about you guys? Kevin.
Incomplete.
Incomplete, that's a good one. Incomplete, that you're not complete until you sign a marriage license with somebody. That makes you complete. That's a good one. What else?
Yeah. Off the grid.
Off the grid. Can you explain that?
Just different than the norm.
Uh-huh. Off yep. The grid. Yeah, yeah. There's something just off, just different
about
you.
Anything you want to.
Uh-huh. Yep. Off the grid. Different. Kevin, you got another one.
Gay or bad.
Okay, yep, sure. People start asking questions about you if you're single for a long amount of time or whatever it is. See your hand about to go up.
Misguided.
Can you?
Some people who hit the wrong path at the wrong time get asked questions occasionally. Why are you doing this? Why are you here? Some people's response to that is, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And some people say, oh, you were given the wrong direction, the wrong map to go by. Sometimes it's because you got no map at all. But in any case, you are occasionally misguided.
Selfish, narcissistic, off the grid, or off, kind of just like off on your own. What? Give me some other ones.
Lucky?
Tell me about that, John.
Well, being divorced, sometimes your married friends come down and they vent on you.
Yeah.
And they say, I wish I had it like you.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to have to participate.
Yeah, there's Your married friends probably...
You don't have to do your dishes today.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to. You know.
But you have to do them.
Yeah.
No,
but not today.
Yeah, but not today. What? Yep.
Maybe that women are for pleasure.
Okay.
Whether it's pornography, one-night stands, sleeping around.
Yep. So single men are sexually motivated machines.
I was married once, I was.
There you go. Yep, yep. So single men are kind of these immature sex machines that are just kind of see women in a certain way, right? Single men, maybe we hear that single men devalue women or see them because you don't have a wife. You're constantly trying to think about sex, right? Just a couple more. There you go. DJ.
Flawed or like a failure that you somehow, you know, got something wrong with you that you... Maybe you don't have a wife, or if you had a marriage that it failed.
Yep.
But, you know, what's wrong with the person that, you know, they didn't stay married or find someone to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. Similar to what Gary was saying of what's wrong with you, yeah. Especially if you go deeper into your 30s as a single man, or into your 40s or 50s as a single man. What's wrong with you? What's going on? Yeah.
Like emptiness, loneliness.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we've got a. I actually don't know if I should shut this down because you guys have a lot of ideas here. Anything else? Any other ideas, narrative words that are kind of spoken over single men in our culture? Kevin?
They're dangerous.
Dangerous, sure. Yep. Can't be trusted. Pathetic. Who said that? Yep, sure. Pathetic, just pitied. Yeah. So, I like all these answers. And here's what I want to think about today in our time together, is there are two stories, two narratives, if you will, about single men, and we get to choose which one you live into, which one you believe, which one you walk in the way of, and which one you live into, live out of, and find your identity in. As a single man in today's world, you guys have been saying a lot of the things that really our culture just kind of douses you with. Single men, maybe, and we've got a variety of ages in here, so there's different groupings, right? So maybe the younger single men have these words over them of party animals. Wanderers. They couldn't care less, they're working to party, right? You got no other worries, you got no other things that you're worrying about, so you just work hard to party hard. To be motivated by sex and your world is full of porn. This is what the world says about single men, especially maybe younger single men. And then maybe older single men, they're like we were talking about, there's something wrong with you. Or you're pathetic. Or you're... What about this one? In the church, how does the church see single men? Kevin?
Invisible.
All right. So how does the church see single men? There seems to be a disconnect where a lot of the people that we see in the church serving and leading even are married men. It's kind of ironic that the man leading this seminar is a married man. So there's these stories about single men in our culture that we get to figure out. But see, that's one narrative. That's one story that our culture has told. And I don't even just blame our culture or the world around us. That would be easy. That'd be a cop-out, I think. I think there's something underlying that narrative that we see, and I think his name is Satan. In my theology, we have an enemy. We have an enemy who wants to take beautiful realities and distort them and make them ugly. We have an enemy who loves to take what God is building and breathing life onto, and he loves to distort them, twist them, whisper lies, and eventually we start living into this story that he's telling. So many of us feel like we are in this boat of incomplete, pathetic, sex machines, party animals, wanderer, no roots, selfish, you name it. And the enemy is whispering those lies in our culture's ears and in your ears. But see, there's a different narrative out there as well, isn't there? There's two stories. And the different narrative is told by your father. The different narrative is told by your father that you are, as single men right now, not lacking anything. You, as single men right now, don't have to be and aren't waiting for anything to experience the fullness that the Father has for you. See, because you, this is the narrative that the Father has for you, is that your roots, we're talking about taking roots. The narrative that the Father has for you is that your roots go deep into His heart, and that is what defines you. Not anything about your marital status, your relationship status.
I'm a father of three.
There you go. This is the narrative. There's two narratives here, friends. And the question is, which one are we going to live into? Which one are we going to believe? And it's easy to believe the narrative, the story that the enemy wants to tell over us. It's pretty natural. It's easy to believe and to live into the narrative, even that the church sometimes tells us. Leaders in the church get it wrong a lot of times. And we don't make space for our brothers who are married. They're kind of to be feared, right? Somebody mentioned that. But I think that's the church hearing the lies of the enemy whispered into our very ears. As who's the main speaker today? What's his name?
Crawford.
It was great. And Crawford tells a story at the end of his sermon about Joshua after Moses had died. Do you remember? He told this story about Joshua, and he's standing in front of the river, and beyond that river is the promised land, remember? So for some of us, matter of fact, probably for many of us, and for most of our culture, here's what the deal is that river for us as single men, is that marriage? You cross over and you get married and you enter the promised land. Or is the promised land itself marriage? That real life begins, again, when you sign your name on a marriage certificate. The promised land is marriage. Or is there something more for us men? I'm married myself. Some of you have been married before, maybe a couple of times. And I can tell you, marriage is not the promised land.
Amen.
Marriage is not the promised land. Says someone who's been married before, perhaps. I'm married currently, and I love my wife. It's besides being a son of the Father, my number one calling is to be a husband. But I'm going to tell you something. Marriage is not the promised land. I may have thought that at one time. And if I kept thinking that, I would have broken my marriage. And I would have been really dissatisfied. So I want to continue talking a little bit about what our identity is and how we see marriage, how we see singleness in particular. Take roots is our theme for the day, for the morning. Take root. And this is universal for single men, married men. Take root. And Crawford was talking a lot about taking, in Psalm 1, letting our roots go deep into the Word of God. In Psalm 1, if our roots go deep into the Word of God, things start happening. We start bearing fruit, and it's true. Here's what I want to just put a little something on the end of that, though. When we talk about taking root, you think about that today. Our roots going deep into the Scriptures is not just the end, man. Hear me now. Our roots going deep into the Scriptures is not the end. The Scriptures are not the end of our spiritual walk. The Scriptures are a means to an end. You follow me? The Scriptures are a means to the end. Do you remember when Jesus in the Gospels is talking to the Pharisees? He's talking to the religious leaders. And they don't understand him. They have the Son of God standing right in front of them. And they're missing it. They have no idea who he is. Remember this? And what did Jesus say to them? He said, "You guys know the Scriptures better than anyone in this crowd. You guys know the Scriptures front and back. You could probably recite them by heart. But see, the Scriptures are pointing to me, and you don't get it." So when we talk about our roots going deep, yes, men, let's talk about our roots going deep into the Scriptures. Because if our roots go deep into the Scriptures, they're going to go deep into who Jesus is. And that is the end. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the beginning and the end. The Scriptures are not the end. They are the means to the end. And His name is Jesus. Amen. A single man, as a matter of fact. A man who didn't find his identity based on the relationships that he was involved in. A man who didn't find his identity based on, in this culture, marriage was everything in Jesus' culture. You got married young and you had kids. And even the gender of your kids depended on your identity. There was all sorts of things that that culture in Jesus' time said, this is who you are as a man. You are a successful man if you have a bunch of boys. You are a successful man if you have a bunch of kids and you have a great marriage and you have all of this. And Jesus actually had none of it. Jesus himself was described as a wanderer, maybe untrustworthy, maybe unpredictable, maybe on the fringe. Do you hear some of how you feel in the person of Jesus, our Messiah? Friends, if our roots go deep into the Scriptures, if our roots go deep into who Jesus is because of that, we're going to start getting our identity not from what our culture says about us as single men. Not from what our culture says, not even from how you feel. I know how it is. Marriage does seem like the promised land sometimes, doesn't it? Marriage does seem like the thing that you're just waiting for, or if you could just get married again, life would begin again, or you could feel like you're a part of something again, or you could have relationships and friendships again. But when our roots go deep into the Scriptures, and then they even go beyond the Scriptures, but they go deep into Jesus and our identity as sons of the Father, we realize that we are standing. Here's the deal, friends. We are standing in the promised land right now. In Jesus, you are standing in the promised land, and marriage will not satisfy you at all. As a matter of fact, if you find your satisfaction and delight in Jesus right now, you're going to be a gift to someone further down the line if and when you do get married. If and when you do get married, if your roots go deep into who Jesus is, and you don't need anybody else to tell you who you are, you don't need anybody else to find your security in, you don't need anybody else to find your identity in, if that's who you are right now, you're going to be a gift to someone. You're going to be a foundation for your family eventually. But if our lives right now depend on finding someone to give our last name to, if our lives right now depend on finding that somebody and having a family and doing what our culture says is that life is all about, if that's what your identity rests on, you're going to bring a lot of brokenness into whatever marriage you enter. You're going to find yourself disappointed more often than not. If you're waiting, we talk about singleness has this feeling of waiting, doesn't it? Waiting to enter the promised land, waiting on something out there. We wait on a lot of things. We wait for our identity and our security and who we are. We also wait to get over sexual sin sometimes, don't we? We think, you know what? I got no output for all the sexual energy that's inside of me. So I'm just going to, when I get married, it's going to be different. It's going to be easy. We're waiting to find our sexual identity in someone else. Right? I got to tell you, I know just as many men who are married struggling sexually with porn, with lust, with masturbation, with even worse than that, as I do single friends. The thing is that they all thought that being married would fix it. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've been through it. Some of you don't. If you're waiting to walk into and step into this place called sexual purity for marriage, you'll probably never get there. sexual purity doesn't come along with. Marriage and sexual purity don't walk hand in hand together. As a matter of fact, you'll probably find yourself more attacked when you're married. So you better get used to being sexually pure now. Not waiting for something, but saying, Father, I am a man in your kingdom, and I'm going to act like it right now. I'm not going to wait for something to spark that change. When we talk about the narrative that the enemy has painted, that the enemy has written and told and whispers into our ears, the culture speaks into, and we hear all these lies about us. And then I've been talking about this different narrative that the Father wants to bring us into, that the Father has told that we can step into and live into. I've talked about a few things, but what are some things that I trust the Holy Spirit to be speaking to you, men? What are some things that the Spirit is speaking to you that the other side of the narrative, rather than selfish or narcissistic or untrustworthy or wanderers, whatever, what are some of the things that the Spirit has told you that this is who you are as a single man in my kingdom?
Patient.
Can you explain that? It's easy to become restless, isn't it? It's easy to become dissatisfied with our situation, with our lot in life. But a man who is rooted in his identity as a father's son, a man who draws his identity not from your relationship status on Facebook or anything else, but in the father's identity, you become patient. What's something else? Kevin?
A single man, I think, especially, has an open door to the riches of love in Christ Jesus and isn't an exile from love in God, God who is love.
Yep.
See? And because he's not an exile, he has an open door also to the hidden and secret treasures of love in God through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Your identity, your vision and picture of love is rooted in this man Jesus, rather than being skewed. You had Paul, is that?
Yeah.
You had a question or a thought?
I think I kind of wanted.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks for sharing, Paul. I'm just going to repeat a little bit of that for the recording's sake. But Paul's speaking into this reality of a blessing, the blessing and a curse almost, blessing of being married. Yeah, blessing of being single and. All of that that goes with it, but also it's just hard. And that's something that, this is just an easy way to move into that. Somebody that I think of who kind of harnesses what Paul was speaking to, this blessing and the curse, the hardships and the goodness of it, somebody who I see in scriptures who's really real with his process like that, you guys know who I'm talking about probably, right? Who's the most honest, guttural, emotional guy in the scriptures, would you say? Peter's one, that's a good one.
I've been going through hard times since I lost my wife.
I'm so sorry about that. Yeah, we can pray for you afterwards. Yep. We got the answer right here. It's David. When I think of someone who isn't trying to hide things, this is what we do in the church a lot, isn't it? Yeah. We try to hide things. We try to sweep them under the rug. We try to put on a good face for Sunday mornings or the No Regrets conference or whatever it is. We try to just put on a good face and not act like there's any pain going on inside. David wasn't like that. What Paul was articulating is this thing that we find in the Psalms, which is David rejoicing and worshiping God wherever he is. But also David being able to lament. David being able to be honest with God. We find David in, I think it's Psalm 25, saying, God, would you rescue me from my loneliness? Some of you guys know what David was talking about right there. Here's the reason that I'm saying this. You can tell your father what's going on inside of you. He's not afraid of your process. He's not afraid of your doubts. He's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of your, even in some ways, your discontent. He's not afraid of it. He created you the way you are with the desires that you have. It's from him, and he can deal with it. But how did David always end his psalms of lament? When he would say, where are you, God? Or how long? How long must I remain lonely? How long will this be the story? How long, fill in the blank, how would he always end his psalms of lament? But I command my soul to praise the Lord. It wasn't even that he said, "Oh, hopefully this beautiful spirit of worship is going to well up in me in spite of all this." He usually didn't say that. He didn't leave it up to his soul and his emotions and his feelings as whether he was going to worship God and engage. He commanded his soul to worship God. Isn't that amazing? That's a man of character right there. He says, "I know who God is, even though I don't feel it right now. So spirit within me, soul within me, praise God. And things are going to change." You can be honest with God. CJ, you had stuff. Yep. Yeah, I'm guessing I love you guys sharing because I'm sure you guys can be like, yep, that's my story. Here's two sides of that coin as well.
I agree with the guy that just said that in my single life, I'm the same way.
Yep. What's your name?
Daniel Wall.
Daniel. All right. Thank you, Daniel. So CJ was just articulating this another two sides of the same of the coin of the blessing of, or missing that companionship, basically, in marriage, friendship, relationship, but also self-sufficiency. So here's two things. Many of us, and this isn't just a married thing, but it's easier in marriage, we don't know how to be alone very well. Now, this is where I'll just disagree a little bit with Crawford. I don't think it's an automatically bad thing for a man to live on his own. If you're walking in accountability and relationship and have strong relationships, it's no problem. But many of us don't know how to be on our own, and that's because we don't know how to walk with the Lord very well. We don't know that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and there's this constant conversation happening. We don't know how to be with ourselves because we're kind of scared of ourselves sometimes, maybe even, right? Because we'll find ourselves in somebody else. You guys have a choice. Will you continue to walk in that direction where that says, I'm not comfortable with myself. I'm not comfortable with myself until I'm with somebody. Some of us bounce from relationship to relationship to relationship because we don't like that sound of our own internal voice, or we don't like being alone. Will you continue settling for that? Or will you settle in and say, Father, if my identity is rooted deeply in you, I want to hear your voice when I'm by myself. I want that to be a beautiful time for us. I want to be content on my own. I want my home to be full of your presence and your voice and your goodness, regardless of who's in it. But then there's also this thing that CJ was speaking to, is that you were created for relationship, whether you're married or single. You hear me? All of us, every single one of us in this room, were created for relationship. But you weren't, probably, I don't think, created to be married, maybe. You were created for relationship. Because you're created in the image of the relational God. And it's not he's just relational, as in from God to human beings, but think of who God is. This is what's unique about Christianity, is the triune Godhead. God himself exists in relationship. God is relationship of Father, Son, Holy Spirit before the creation of the world. He had no needs. He had everything he could want because in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he had this beautiful relationship full of love and celebration and honor and grace. All of these things that we love about God, they existed before mankind did. Because God existed in relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, honoring one another, celebrating one another, loving one another. And this is what we've been created in the image of. When it says in Genesis 1 that let us make man in our own image, what that means is that God is making, he's made us out of the image of this divine relationship. So you're made for a relationship, but that doesn't just look like marriage. And if you're not moving towards a relationship, I would say this is a blanket statement. You're going to find yourself in really unhealthy positions. So now this is the work of it. As you in this, whether you're married or single, it's always a movement moving towards relationship. And this, I think, is where the church comes in, friends. Hopefully, I think because you're here, maybe most of you are connected to a church, but I'm not going to assume that. I'm sure many of you are not intimately connected to a church. This is not a commercial for my church. I don't care where you step foot in, just move towards a relationship, which means move towards the church. And here's what I mean by that. Don't just move towards a Sunday morning gathering. That's not church. We say we're going to church. That's just wrong. You don't go to church. Church isn't a place. Church isn't an event. You are the church. We are the church. So if you want to move towards a relationship, which I hope you do because you've been created for it, and if you don't move towards a relationship, you're going to find yourself in some sin and some trouble. Move towards the church. If you feel like there's no place for you in your church, start talking to your pastors about that. Or start thinking about where you are, but move towards relationship and move towards the church because that is where you'll find life. Thank you, CJ. What's your name?
My name's Kyle.
Kyle?
Yep, absolutely. There's, hold on for a second, Kevin. I'm sorry, Kyle. Yep. So what Kyle's articulating is just this time difference, which is true, but here, there's also both sides of the coin on that one, right? Yeah.
So you have time and you're able to invest in your work. You're able to really kind of do things that other people can't in some ways. And you're able to, I can tell you as far as that time goes, I'm a pastor and I'm not a pastor of a mega church. Got probably 250 people on a Sunday morning, which means that we rely on volunteers. We just do. And I can tell you, here's something that for some reason when we get married, we think that we're kind of exempt from serving for some reason. But I can tell you, I'm blessed so richly as a pastor, as a leader of a church, by a bunch of single men who just say, you know what, I can shovel so you don't have to do that. I can help you out around the building. I can lead this group. I'm so blessed by single men who don't see themselves as kind of waiting to get married to enter the church, waiting to get married to enter leadership, waiting to get married to enter in the kingdom in these ways, but by men, single men in particular, who say, I can do that. Where can I help? That will bless your pastor so much, and that is the heart of the Father. This is what it means to be a man. So we have, and then also the other side of that coin as well is, you're still, as a single man, called to live a balanced life. Just remember that. Of course you have more time to work and to spend your energy on other things, but continue, remember what we just said, to move towards relationship. Do you make time for that? Do you make time for the church? Do you make time to move towards relationship? Do you make time for all the other things that kind of lead to this balanced person of feeling healthy? That's the only other side. But you're right, Kyle. Feeling like this, I'm in a unique position to offer myself in different ways, whether it's to my work, to my church, to relationships, whatever it may be. Alex?
You can make a difference.
Explain that a little bit.
You have the time. You can kind of put forth the extra effort to help in the church or dig into things deeper and speak in other people's lives, either in your church as a leader or
absolutely
anything like that.
Yep. I'm going to be, well, I'll be doing this seminar again right after this, but then the next seminar I'll be doing is about an organization called Exploit No More, which I'm on the board of directors for. It's a local organization fighting child sex trafficking in the Milwaukee area. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because Alex gave me this really easy, kind of a commercial, but also just an example, is that when we talk about joining our organization or organizations like ours in fighting against something like sex trafficking, for some reason, there's one gender represented there all the time, and that's women. It's women. It's women, and it's men. Here's the thing, it's men who create this problem, but it's women who are trying to fix it, and that should not be. So, Alex, going on what you're saying, you have more time to serve. You have more time to dive into these organizations that the Father might be calling us into, that the Spirit might be calling us into, but maybe we're not listening because we're trying to fill our time with other stuff. But, yeah, you have an opportunity to serve in unique ways. Paul, and then Kevin.
Okay, I just want to add another area of ministry I've noticed over the years, is, and it's a big one now, is out of wedlock pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Women have quite a few places to go. Where do guys go?
Hmm.
Who are they going to talk to?
Single dads, you mean? Or
little horns on your head when you admit that you've been involved in that.
Right.
You know, and I think there needs to be something there.
Absolutely. And that's where it's up to us as well. There's, speaking of narratives, right? There's these narratives that say a single mom is like, we got to love them and honor them, and we sure do. But as far as the stereotype or the horns on the head that Paul was speaking to, that if
Stigma, yeah. If you're sexually active, if you get someone pregnant, or you're a single dad, whatever it might be, that's where we get to change a narrative in the church. Because that should not be. The church should be a place where it's a place of grace, where we bring who we are fully, without worries of condemnation and shame and fear. But knowing that we're going to receive forgiveness, new life, and restoration, right? That's what the church should be. And if it's not that, it's not up to somebody else, friends. Man, it's not up to somebody else to change that narrative, to change that story, to say, you know what, that should not be. It's up to us in this room. It's up to us to start changing that narrative and say, this is what the church should look like. Got time for just a couple more thoughts. Kevin.
In one of his epistles, Paul says that he talks about the singleness versus marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He says that the single man can please God without distraction, and in marriage there comes trouble with marriage, and he would spare his followers of that if they're able to stay single.
Yeah.
And then in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, there's mentioned about being a eunuch for the kingdom of God, and
sure.
Jesus talked a little bit about that and said that for some it's given that they can be a eunuch for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Old Testament, in either Isaiah or Jeremiah, it talks about how eunuchs will be especially blessed in paradise.
Sure, and there's a number of reasons for that. That's culturally where eunuchs were seen as rejects and outcasts, sexual deviants, basically. And Jesus, because this is what the way the kingdom is saying, nope, there's no deviance. As a matter of fact, the deviants and the rejects are the ones who are going to have honor in the kingdom. But what you're speaking to, Kevin, I like what... we all know where Paul's talking, or most of us probably know where Paul's talking about, where he says, I wish that you would all remain single. Right? Because Paul was always thinking about the kingdom. Paul was always thinking about the church. And so he's, in Paul's mind, it's better for the kingdom and it's better for the church that you remain single, because you won't get distracted. You won't have all these responsibilities. It's just better. How interesting is it how much that story has changed over the course of 2,000 years, isn't it? That we have one of the pillars, fathers of the faith, in the Apostle Paul, who wrote probably half of the New Testament, saying it's better that you remain single, but yet in the church today, single men are looked down on. Singleness is looked down on. It looks incomplete, like we began with. It looks narcissistic. It looks selfish. It looks fill in all the blanks. The church has bought into this narrative for some reason. But we have one of the fathers of our faith saying it's better to remain single. What if we started asking, what do you mean by that, Father? Because this is the inspired word of God. What do you mean when you said through Paul, it's better that you remain single? What could my life look like right now in ways that it's better for me? That's not to say that maybe if marriage is in your heart, you don't have to die to that. But maybe you do have to die to this idol called marriage. And ask the Father, what does it mean that you can use me in maybe even more profound ways right now? How does that look? And see, here's the deal. I trust him, because if our identity is rooted in God as a good Father, we trust that he's going to speak to us. So when you ask questions like that, you just trust him to give you an answer and be patient with it and keep asking until you find, this is who I am. Just a minute, Kevin. Any other thoughts or things that we can think about that you guys have, that's the Spirit has kind of prompted in you? Yeah.
Finance?
Say that again.
Finance?
I'm sorry.
Like money?
Finances. In what way?
Like people to tell you, if you don't have the money, she won't go out with you or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always tell them, money don't
buy love. Right. Yeah, it's again the part of this narrative that you can choose which narrative you're going to live into and buy into. Are you going to choose this narrative that, like, you've got to make enough money to, because that's what success looks like? Or are you going to say, no, my success is rooted in the Father's heart and who He is for me? Two guys over there. Paul, yeah?
I just wanted to counterbalance that point with Paul, because the same guy that works through Paul would say this, you know, I wish all y'all could be single, also said in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
You got to rebalance that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I focus on that quite a lot. I should say maybe fortunately. I focus on that one a lot more, I guess, now.
Yep, absolutely. We don't have to pretend that marriage isn't a blessing. Marriage is a blessing. It's beautiful and it's good. But also, exactly. But also, like I said just a couple minutes before, marriage for many of us is an idol. Whether we're single or married, doesn't matter. I know many people who are married who see their spouse, who their spouse is Jesus to them. Who see their spouse as an idol. Who marriage itself is an idol. Single people, I idolized marriage when I was single as well. That is not the way to enter into marriage. That is not the way to see marriage. That is not what a man of the kingdom sees. Because then if you have that, again, if you have that vision of who I am and what marriage is, man, you're going to be ready to step into some beautiful things. TJ?
I like the word available. That's something a single person gets to be, and that is available to your friends, available to be a better son or uncle or, you know, different relationships. Mm-hmm. And what I've observed in my life is I isolate myself and I wait to be invited to things and things like that. But it takes courage. But to, you know, reach out to the people you love and you know, try to be there for them, find out if you can somehow help them somehow or spend time with them. It takes courage to do that, but to just realize that you have the time and are available to reach out to those people that you
absolutely
can be available to.
Yeah, and as DJ was talking, the spirit, I think, was just this word availability. There's a vacuum of a kind of person, a role in our society, in our culture, in our Western world. There's a vacuum, and the what I'm thinking of, this role, is fathers. There is a vacuum. There's not enough fathers in our world, and I'm looking at a room of fathers. Some of you have kids, and you're literally fathers. Some of you don't, but the Father is giving you maybe a father's heart that you're just kind of waiting to have that expressed, right? We're just waiting and hoping and praying that one day we can have children. I hope that for you, if that's your dream, if that's your heart. I trust that the Father's going to provide that. But let me tell you something. There is a vacuum of fathers in our culture, in our world, in our city. There is a vacuum. What if, for some of you guys who feel this fathering heart on you, this fathering grace, maybe even more than others, what if you said, Father, what do I do with this? I'm available, and I want to take this father's heart, and I want to be a daddy in the spirit. I guarantee you the Father will give you opportunities to do just that with some kids, some people, some teens, some young men who really, really need it. Are you available in that way? See, because this is what the kingdom looks like. Us giving ourselves to one another. Us raising up a generation that maybe it's not even our blood, but we're saying, I want to give the Father's heart to you. Are you available like that? Got time for maybe one or two more questions. Jim?
Could I make a suggestion about that father thing?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find something very, very satisfying, you can be a mentor through Lab Lake or through St. Francis or St. Charles Family Services and or Big Brothers. It takes a couple of hours a week, and a boy has a man to look for like a father.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jim mentioned Lab Lake, which is an amazing organization, Big Brothers and Big Sisters,
St. Charles, I'm sorry, from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. And Elmbrook is such a hub for resources like this. If you guys have this heart and say, I don't know what to do, man, go to some leadership at Elmbrook. They will connect you because they are in the middle of tons of beautiful ministries in the city. Amazing. Right like that, you'll have find some answers. Kevin?
Matt mentioned that when Jonathan died, he was a friend of David, and David gave a eulogy And he said that better was your love than the love of women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage you men to look for connection and look for accountability with at least one man, or preferably a small group of men.
That's really good.
Also,
yep.
We can still be complete. We can, our completion, we're told, is in Christ, it says in the New Testament. And in Galatians 3:28, it says that Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female are all one in mm-hmm. Christ Jesus. And in Jeremiah, it says, God is speaking. He says, I will make a new thing on the earth. A woman will surround a man. And I think that's talking about Christ in us and how he's a balance of the masculine, the feminine, the male, the female.
Mm-hmm.
He's our one being that we must drink mm-hmm. of.
Yep.
You know, there's no longer bodies.
Absolutely.
You know, there's the one being we drink of, the way, the truth, and the life.
Yep.
Christ Jesus the Lord.
Kevin's preaching. I love it. That's good. That's really good. Thank you, Kevin. So here's the idea, man. Again, back to the beginning. Which narrative are you buying into and living out? Which narrative are you buying into and living out as single men? Because what you're living out is going to change the way the story is told about single men. How you're living and what you're buying into is going to change the way men under you, boys under you, are feeling. How you're living out is going to change the way women feel. How you're living out is going to change the way the church feels, because it's going to have this group of single men that we have to do something with. Rather than we're buying into this narrative that we've got to wait for marriage to engage in the church, you're going to say, no, I don't want to wait for marriage. I want to lead now. What story you buy into changes everything, because Jesus, in the middle of it, changes everything. So let me pray for you and bless you before we go. Father, this is a room of great men. I'm looking out on your sons, on great men who you've put great things into. I ask right now, in this, their season of life that you find them in, you know them intimately. You know each of these men intimately. Would you, Holy Spirit, be speaking to them now? If this isn't even something normal for us, would you make it normal? Would you start whispering in our ears, Holy Spirit, we want to hear your voice. Would you tell us who we are? Would you show us who we are, who you've made us, what you've put in us? Would you give us opportunities to be fathers? Would you give us opportunities to serve? Would you help us to buy into your narrative and walk in your way, Jesus, as single men? Single men who are full of character. Single men who are leaders. Single men who are leading others into your life. Single men who are walking towards relationship. Single men who, in spite of loneliness, are hope-filled because of what you've done for us and who you are to us. I bless these men with hope, with life, with joy, with excitement. And bless these men with character. And bless these men with your vision for their lives right now, because it's beautiful. I just agree with your heart for them. So I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Men, thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thanks for
seeing
you.
Yeah, I'm married, guys, but mentoring people, and I'm
okay.
Glad to hear what you had to say.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Good job.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come down and see you sometime.
Awesome. Are you in the area?
I'm up in West Dallas.
Okay.
You're on Van Buren?
Yeah.
Which is
on State Street from you. So.
Okay. It's called Brewer City.
Brewer City Church. Yeah.
All right. You
awesome.
Take care.
Blessings to you.
Take care.
Day.
Thank you.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
You guys all together? Before you head to tune up? All right.
I'm trying to find the one where you see the seminar with the reed.
All right. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.